tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. This tape, on title, Reply to a Critic. I'm Jim Lewis. I'm president and founder of All Roads Ministry. And the reason this tape exists is it is a reply to a specific letter received by a gentleman whose name is David L. Belz. I believe that's how I pronounce his name. David obtained a four-tape package from All Roads Ministry as a result of an advertisement we ran in August 1991 in Twin Circle newspaper. David wrote me a letter because in the package I included a copy of the armament, and I requested that if he had any responses, suggestions, criticisms, etc., that he comment. I shall read at least some of David's letter to give you an idea, if you are not David, and specifically to refresh David's memory. And then I shall defend myself. Allow me to make an opening comment first and establish a premise. When one does something which is at times controversial, one, if one is prudent, occasionally calls into doubt, or if not doubt, reevaluation, one's approach, one's techniques, one's value, one's sense and certainty of being correct. One way that one can be reassured that one's approach is correct is if one's opponent always, I emphasize the word always lead into self-contradiction, error, heresy, foolishness, illogic, irrationality, or simple, plain dishonesty. If one's opponents always do that, and if they remain in it upon being shown their problems, then the reassurance that I personally can draw when my opponents do that to me increases. David, I'm not particularly sure whether you fully understand the complete foolishness and inconsistency and dishonesty of your criticisms. I hope you do not, because if you do not, there is a darn good chance that you can repent, reform, and yet become a full, proper Christian. If, however, you do understand them, then, for God's sakes, realize the horrible sin that you are in by conveying dishonesty as honesty. I'll read again some of David's letter. Dear Van, let me introduce myself. I am a cradle Catholic. I'm 41 years old. I went through high school and college during the 60s and 70s. It's a tumultuous time, I'm sure you will agree. Put it frankly, I'll summarize a couple of paragraphs here. David says that he fell away from the church. He doesn't say for how long, nor does he say when he came back. He points out that a fundamentalist friend helped him to find Jesus. As you can probably suspect, my friend tried to get me to become a member of his church. I did attend several services and found them to be spiritually rewarding, but I couldn't renounce my Catholicism because I knew deep down inside that our church taught the whole truth. Okay, David, number one, if you found the services of heretics who deny the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother, the Assumption, and the Immaculate Conception, deny the real presence, deny the function of the Holy Spirit in keeping that Catholic Church correct, then what you have done is found spiritually rewarding the company and activity and worship services of blasphemers. Remember, the first letter of St. John says, anyone who says Jesus is not come in the flesh is from the devil. That spirit is from the devil. These people say Jesus is not present in the flesh. That means they are from the devil. You have found such service is spiritually rewarding. Interesting comment. Number two, you knew deep down that Catholicism taught the whole truth, but you stayed away from it. That's very interesting, David. We draw one of two conclusions. Either when you know something is right, you stay away from it, which makes you terribly dishonest, or when you know something is right, you stay away from it, because that makes you terribly dishonest. In case you haven't noticed the cute way I've approached it here, David, all you've done is told me is that you're a dishonest person, that you know one church is true, and you stay away from it and attend another. Interesting, of course, it's the whole truth. Well, David, truth is indivisible. When Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, what he means is the whole truth. Anything which is other than that is not the truth. And you can say it's part of the truth. But if the whole truth is not necessary for salvation, then why did Jesus teach it? And if it is not necessary for you to be correct on everything, then everybody gets to heaven, because nobody's totally bad. Okay, I continue reading with your letters. I then began a long and tedious journey back to a full understanding of Catholicism. I've read many books, listened to many tapes, etc. I have come to learn the Catholic Church with a deep passion. Again, I'm just reading selected passages. I give you all this background because I want you to know I share your dedication and loyalty to the Church. End quote. No, you don't, David. You don't share my dedication. You don't share my loyalty. Unless you misunderstand or misuse the word share in the sense of that you have part of it. I'm dedicated to the Roman Catholic Church, without which there is no salvation, and I could not find spiritually rewarding a liturgy which occurs with fundamentalists who insult my mother and the mother of God. Now, if you can, we don't share the same dedication and loyalty. Okay, but when I, again, I'm reading from David's letter. But when I read your newsletter and listened to your tapes, my reaction was one of alarm. Your approach is insulting and obnoxious. Forgive me for being so direct. I don't forgive you anything, David. You're perfectly correct. Of course I'm insulting and obnoxious. What are we supposed to do with blasphemers? What are we supposed to say with people who deny the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother? Are we not supposed to be insulting or obnoxious? They're offensive. They're blasphemers. They're working on the other side. What are we supposed to do? Well, David answers that. I continue. Next paragraph. If your initial reaction to what I have said is anger or defensiveness, then think what effect your tape will have on people when they hear you say that someone was, now he's quoting me, apparently, was not an honest or honorable individual, end quote, because they didn't accept a certain doctrine or teaching of the Catholic faith. You can't call someone, quote, deceitful or morally corrupt and expect them to listen to what you have to say. Okay, let me stop right there. David, how do you expect people to listen to you? Think about it for a moment. I mean it. Think about it for a moment before you proceed any further. If you are conveying to them truths that are necessary for their salvation, what are you supposed to say? Oh, by the way, you people are perfectly right, perfectly good, perfectly moral, perfectly wonderful. And then expect them to change their ways? Everyone, I repeat, David, everyone outside the Roman Catholic Church, and certainly most, if not all of us inside of it, are morally corrupt. That is why we go to confession, those of us who are in the Roman Catholic Church. Everyone who accepts the Roman Catholic Church, excuse me, everyone who rejects the Roman Catholic Church, is deceitful or morally corrupt. I point out to you quite specifically, David, that the tape package you ordered was designed to win people back to the faith who have left it. Everyone, I repeat, everyone who has left the Roman Catholic Church has done it because they are deceitful and or morally corrupt. They are not honest or honorable individuals. At this point, David, since you're not aware of my organization, let me make a simple offer to you, a simple contract, absolutely, completely binding. Show me one honest, knowledgeable, non-Catholic, a Protestant who claims to be a Christian, and I'll give you $100. You must let me question him, however, and here's the deal, since you live far away from me. You will pay for the telephone call. And of course, if you are convinced at the end of the conversation that this person is honest, and I'll take your word for it, if you swear in advance to tell the truth, then I will pay you the phone call and the $100. If not, you pay me the phone call expense. Now, all you have to do is show me one person, David. There aren't any. Okay. Again, how do you think you get people's attention when they are wrong? And when people are wrong on religious matters, they are deceitful, morally corrupt, not honest, nor honorable, by definition. Because, by definition, every man who comes into the earth is enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Or don't you believe the Gospel of St. John where it says that? Every man committed to the truth hears the voice of Jesus. Well, don't you believe Jesus when he says that in the Gospel of St. John? Now, if you are not committed to the truth, you are by definition morally corrupt or deceitful. Or do you have another definition for those terms? I'm committed to the truth, David. I hear the words of Jesus say, honor my mother. She was a virgin forever. I'm present, physically, really, in the Blessed Sacrament. My priests have the power to forgive sins. That unless a man be born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That if a man be baptized and accept the gospel, he is saved, and if he does not accept it, he is damned. I hear Jesus say that because I'm committed to the truth. Why do not others hear Jesus say that? Because they're not committed to the truth. And if they're not committed to the truth, they are morally deceitful. Now, I go to the next paragraph in which this same theme is developed a little longer. The truths of the Catholic faith are self-evident for those who are willing to seriously look at them. Very interesting point. Absolutely correct. Does one have to seriously look at the truths of the Roman Catholic Church? Or can one be saved by rejecting it and remaining in so-called invincible ignorance? If one can, then the worst thing to do is to be a Catholic, because we can go to hell while we're holding most of the truths of the Roman Catholic Church, while the invincibly ignorant can go to heaven while rejecting most of the truths of the Roman Catholic Church. Does not everybody, as it said in Vatican I, have an obligation to seek the truth? If so, then everybody must be willing to seriously look for them. And therefore, everybody will find that the truths of the Roman Catholic Church are self-evident when they seriously look at them. Unless, of course, they refuse to do so. And if they refuse to do so, they're not committed to the truth. And if they're not committed to the truth, they're not committed to Jesus. Because Jesus said he is the truth. Did he not? Did he not also say that his followers would know the truth and would set them free from sin? Well, if they know the truth, they will know the truth of the Roman Catholic Church. But that was only for his followers, wasn't it? Well, then those who do not follow Jesus are not Catholics, and those who do follow Jesus are Catholics. It is that simple, isn't it? Yes, it is. The logic is irrefutable. The truth is unavoidable. Now tell me, David, how would you approach someone who is going to hell because he is not seriously looking at the Catholic Church and its truth? Would you say, oh, I don't wish to tell you that you're corrupt, or that you're dishonest, or that you're wrong? Or would you simply say, I don't know, David, what would you say? If you have a better alternative, please let me know it. But allow me to make a point here. I'm an expert in the field, David. Perhaps you did not read the ad correctly. This is a proven technique. It has worked. It has brought people back to the church. Now, David, do you know of other techniques that have brought people back to the church? If so, please enlighten me. Please show me them, and please give me the names of the people that the other technique has brought back to the church. Before you criticize me, David, get your credentials straight. Are you infallible in your criticisms? If not, you are offering opinion. If you offer opinion, thank you very much. But opinion I don't pay attention to, because you know why? I am promised truth by Jesus and wisdom in the epistle of St. James. Any man who wishes wisdom, let him ask it from God with a full heart and committed faith, and God will give it to him, because God cannot withhold it. I've done that, David. Have you? Yes, I have. I have received that wisdom. Have you? If you have not, don't criticize me, David. Learn from me. When Jesus spoke in Luke, and he said, he who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, does that refer to you, David? If I reject you, am I rejecting Jesus? If I am not, then don't dare criticize me. Understand, David, I speak with that authority. Reject me, you reject Jesus. It's that simple. Do you doubt that? Does that sound arrogant to you? Then let me ask you, why don't you speak with the authority of Jesus? Or if you do, why don't you claim it? Please write me back or send me a tape. Call me on the phone. Discuss this matter with me. Because understand, rejection of me carries a price. I'm right. Are you claiming to be right also? Or are you simply offering an opinion? Okay, next sentence. Again, the truths of the Catholic faith are self-evident for those who are willing to seriously look at them. Willing? do we not all go to hell because we are unwilling to seriously look at truth? Of course. But one of the consequences of the Protestant Reformation is a mistrust of Catholic teaching and authority. Okay, fine. You cannot force, threaten, or coerce someone into changing these types of attitudes. No, of course not. I couldn't force, threaten, or coerce anyone into changing any attitude whatsoever. Is there any implication anywhere in anything I've ever said that leads you to believe this? If so, you are not paying attention at all. Where do I use the word force, threaten, or coerce? If you accuse me of being confrontational, then you've got it right. I confront people with error. But I cannot force, threaten, or coerce anyone into changing any type of attitude because there's always an act of will. Is that clear? Please, David, don't misquote me. Don't misrepresent me. It's called dishonesty. Thank you. They have to be gently and lovingly touched and encouraged with charity and humility. Number one, charity is by definition concern for the welfare of another person. I'm probably one of the most charitable persons you will ever meet, David. You apparently, if I may understand you correctly, and please, I'm making a tentative conclusion here, are not. Why? Because I care about these people going to hell, and that's where they're on their way to. Do you? Have you tried to bring anybody back into the church after they've left? Do you confront people with the fact that if they don't become a Catholic, they go to hell? Do you care? Well, that's what I define as charity. Concern for another person's welfare. Not concerned for another person's feeling. Humility. Humility, among other things, David, is not taking credit for what one does not have a right to take credit for. Number two, relying on God instead of on oneself. I stated before, I speak of God's authority. Why? Because I suspend my will and let him use me. That is why I am right in what I say. It is not them who speaks, but the Spirit of God who speaks through me. It's a very easy thing to do, David. Simply suspend your will, ask for wisdom from God, and he will always buoy you up. And then you will not give opinions, but you will give facts. That is humility. But humility cannot conflict with honesty. In my church today, this is a Sunday, we sang a song. We are the light of the world, that our light shine before men. It is not humility to say, I think, I suppose, I guess, I believe, when facts are facts. I present facts, David. And the facts are that they who reject the Roman Catholic Church go to hell, unless they repent and reform of that. Now, next paragraph. If you really want to serve the church, then consider the example of Mother Teresa. She touches people with her spiritual debt and supernatural love. Supernatural love. Gee, I thought she took care of people physically. Interesting enough. But I guess I've got the wrong thing. I would even encourage you to get a book on the messages of Medjugorje. Even if you are uncertain of the authenticity of these private revelations, you will find her messages to be consistent with scriptural and spiritual, with scripture and spiritually rewarding. They are simple yet truly profound. And then your last paragraph. I ask your forgiveness if I have offended you. I simply speak from the heart. I have been on both sides of the fence and know that our non-Catholic and marginal brethren need to hear our truth, but they won't begin to listen if you don't approach them the right way. Well, we agree with that. You have to approach them the right way. But let me also point out something to you, David. You don't know what Mother Teresa is like, and neither do I. We do know what the media presents her as. And let's assume that's correct. Let's assume she is this supernaturally loving and spiritually deep person who approaches people gently. Okay, let's assume that. So what? I thought we were Christians, David. At least I am. I'm not a Teresaite. I'm not criticizing Mother Teresa. But what I'm saying is this. I have the example of Jesus in Scripture. And Jesus was not gentle. Jesus was harsh. Jesus was confrontational. Jesus says, repent and reform, the kingdom of God is at hand. You are sinners. You need a broken heart, a contrite spirit. And look how often he calls people Pharisees, the frauds, the whited sepulchres, the sons of Satan, the liars. He even calls St. Peter Satan. That is my approach. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, David, and you won't be able to, because I'm not wrong. If we are Christians, are we not obligated to follow Christ in so much as we can? Are we not obligated to follow his way of presenting the gospel? Read the Acts of the Apostles. St. Stephen was killed because he insulted the Sanhedrin. He confronted them harshly. St. Paul is condemnatory in his letters. Read them. Why do you think he was nearly killed several times? Why do you think the Jews were constantly against him? Why do you think Ananias and Sapphira were killed through the intercession, through the activity, the condemnation of St. Peter? Did you ever read the Gospels? Did you ever read the Epistles? Did you ever read the Acts of the Apostles? There is constant confrontation, constant condemnation, constant demand, constant exhortation to better, and constant harshness, David. Now, I have a choice. I can follow what appears to be the way Mother Teresa follows things. Or I can follow St. Peter, St. Paul, Jesus. Now tell me, what should I do? How many people has Mother Teresa brought into the church? I don't know. Maybe you know. How many of those are real Catholics? I don't know. Maybe you know. But I know this, that given a choice between any human being, no matter how good their media and press coverage is, and Jesus, and St. Paul, and St. Peter, and St. James, and St. John, I will follow those. And read them, David, confrontational, nasty, cruel, harsh, repeatedly so, name-calling, and never, never, never making an allowance for these people not understanding the message. We talk about the Protestants having a mistrust of Catholic authority. What about the early Jews of Jesus' time? They had no evidence whatsoever. Jesus didn't come as the Messiah they expected. And he taught many things which were offensive to them. Jesus just said, take it or leave it. Take it, go to heaven. Leave it, go to hell. Walk away from me. So what? He demanded complete and total submission. And of course, he didn't threaten, force, or coerce anyone. But he did confront them with their choices. Exactly as I do. Are you so blinded by the 20th century? And are you so blinded because you are on the other side of the fence, as you put it, that you can no longer see what the true Christian message is? Have you never read any of the great evangelizing saints? They were not kind. They were not gentle. They were cruel. St. Francis of the Sales was probably the most successful converter or winner back of souls, if we may use that, in the history of the church. In his treatise that he wrote in the area of France around Geneva, Switzerland, in which he converted apparently 70,000 people, was horribly harsh on the Protestants and their belief systems. Read his words. Read St. Louis, King of France. This is the proper way to deal with a heretic, is to drive a sword up to his stomach. Read St. Dominic, who after he failed to convert the Albigensians said, now we must, since blessings have not sufficed, blows will. And approved of the so-called crusade which wiped these people out. These are canonized saints. And tell me one place, please, where Mother Teresa condemns me. And you mention about the thing about Medjugorje. Does Our Lady there mention me by name and say that my approach is wrong? If she does, please let me know. I'd be incredibly flattered. Or do you find something that you're drawing a conclusion on? Now let me get very personal, David, and do get defensive. Because if you are defensive, you will think about this, and maybe you will repent, and maybe you will reform, and maybe you will confess. All that time you were from the church and all those masses you missed. All that time you attended the service of the heretics. Did you confess this yet? Or did you think it didn't matter? Do you have any idea what the habitual spiritual sins of pride and blasphemy and unfaith and disbelief? Do you have any idea of the effect they've done on your soul? Do you have any concept of the damage that has been done to you spiritually and intellectually? Sin clouds the intellect, David. You had this long and tedious journey coming back. But notice what you say. The truths of the Catholic faith are self-evident for those who are willing to seriously look at them. So during your long and tedious journey, you were not willing to seriously look at them, were you? That's sin, David. That's rejection of God. What has it caused on your soul? What has it worn away? And now you think you're arrogant enough to criticize me? It doesn't mean to say I'm always right, David. But it does mean to say, this is the best argument you can come up against me. For God's sakes, David, you're still suffering from a horrible sin of pride. You think you can judge me? You think you can determine my standards? You know very little about me, David. Give me a call. You ask God to buoy you up in your criticism of me, and I'll ask God to buoy me up in my defense of me. Give me a call. And if he doesn't buoy me up during that conversation, and if he doesn't refuse to buoy you up, then I'll change everything. Let's test the spirit and keep what is good. David, I've been in this business for about 5 years, and God always buoys me up. That is why I can boast, as St. Paul says. I boast of my weakness, because my weakness is greatest. His grace is the greatest. I don't say these things myself. I suspend my will and let God use me. And that is why I say the right things. Can you say the same thing, David? No, you cannot. You've been on both sides. Either you really rejected Catholicism because you were an incredibly foolish, ignorant, and stupid person, in which case you are not worthy of listening to, or you intentionally rejected it while you refused to seriously look at it because the self-evident truths bothered you for a moral reason. And of course, David, you and I both know that's the reason you left the church. It had nothing to do with disbelief, and it had nothing to do with your inability to think of, to get approach to Jesus. Garbage. It was a sin. Probably a sexual one, right, David? Sin of the flesh. Guaranteed. You know it. I know it. You don't have to tell me. I'm not your confessor. But let's not go through this garbage that you had some kind of spiritual journey. You had a sinful journey. You got tired of saying something in confession. I'm pretty much the same age, David, and I stayed in the faith all the time. And I'm a rotten person when it comes to sinning. But that's why I stay here. This is the place to get your sins forgiven. Okay. You're absolutely correct. People won't begin to listen if you don't approach in the right way. And people didn't listen to Jesus. Did he approach them the right way, David? By definition. Even the apostles didn't believe the resurrection until after it took place, although Jesus said it repeatedly. He failed in almost everything he did. Did you ever notice that? He couldn't get anybody to believe him. He couldn't get them to believe the real presence. Despite all the miracles and everything else, he couldn't get them to believe in the Messiah. Did he approach him the wrong way? David, that's your P.S., which is a very interesting thing I'm leading to. Another thought. Contact St. Joseph Radio in Orange, California, and order some of the radio program tapes. They work with Catholic Answers and are receiving a very positive response. Well, two things there. Number one, Catholic Answers, headed by Carl Keating, is an organization which does some good and a great deal of harm. It is very, very good as far as research goes in history. It is very, very bad at times. Not always in presentations of Catholic faith. Have you actually listened to what Carl Keating says? Obtain my tape on that. I'm not going to obtain tapes from a second-class organization. I'm the first-class organization. Why should I? My stuff is better than everybody else's on the market. No doubt. Guaranteed. 100%. Number two, they're receiving a very positive response. Does this mean in numbers, David? Well, that's interesting. Because Jesus was rejected by the majority. Now, if you mean positive response that hundreds and thousands of people are coming into the church, then God bless them. But are they really coming into the church, or are they coming into a form of Catholicism where you don't have to accept the doctrines and papal infallibility and the real presence and the necessity of confession for the forgiveness of sins and the honoring of the Blessed Mother and the intercession of the saints and statues and candles and purgatory and all that stuff? Well, if not, then what's the positive response? Is it reducing the barriers between Catholic and Protestant? We don't want the barriers reduced. We want them destroyed. Well, David, I don't want to go on too much longer because I wanted to keep this to approximately a half hour, and I think I'm close to it. Let me summarize. David, your criticisms are ridiculous. They are presented as mere human opinion. Pray to God. Seek help from me, and I'll straighten you out. But understand this, David. There is no other way to bring people to the faith. Now, again, for us to do so, we never do. We are instruments in God's will, and every man always accepts or rejects the faith by his own act of will. But we must follow the imitation. We must imitate the example of Christ and become imitators of Christ. His approach is the right way. No other approach which takes away from that is wrong, no matter who says it. Get that straight, sink that into your heart, and you have a chance of being saved. Don't think you're a follower of men. Never follow men, always follow God. David, I hope to hear from you. And I also hope that anybody else who listens to this tape, who understands the nature of the criticism, will also get in touch with me. After all, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help you bring you closer to God, and by doing that, increase the chances of my own salvation. Do give me a call, 914-226-4172. We'll both call on God, and He will absolutely, totally, completely guarantee success for the right one of us, won't He? And then we'll both know who's right. But don't call if you're afraid and wish to remain happy in your own ignorance and sin. Goodbye, good luck, God bless, and thank you for the letter. I do appreciate understanding that there are no valid criticisms of me out there. This tape is a production of All Roads Ministry. This is Ben Lewis, and this tape is, in essence, a reply to a critic. The particular letter I received, I believe, is something that a lot of people get or have the impression of me. So I therefore decided that although I would record this tape in a reply to a specific letter from a Steve Rochelle somewhere out in Utah, that I also thought this reply and the letter were general enough for me to record it as a general defense of my ministry. Okay. Steve starts out and says that he originally liked the stuff he ordered from me, but then he thought about it. He was somewhat disturbed by, quote, some of your comments on the tapes, etc. And the main thing he gets upset about is the thing that I say there's no salvation outside the church. He says, I'll read it. That there is no salvation outside the church is not up-to-date Catholic teaching. I have checked with three RCIA teachers and one priest who is very devoted to Rome, and they say that this is wrong and very pre-Vatican II. Steve, I cannot believe that you have enough intelligence to write a letter, call yourself a Catholic, and actually make a claim like this and expect it to be understood. Let me see if I can make something extremely clear to you. And if you don't understand it, understand that you are not a Catholic, and yes, you cannot go to heaven. The teachings of the Catholic Church are based on the deposit of faith. The deposit of faith are those things revealed by Jesus to the apostles. Some of them are recorded in Scripture. I personally feel that the vast majority were properly understood, recorded in Scripture. Some were taught orally and handed down. And public revelation ended with the death of St. John the Evangelist. That closed public revelation. From that point on, nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away of what is the foundational basis of the Roman Catholic Church. Let me repeat that again. With the close of public revelation, with the death of St. John, the evangelist, the apostle that Jesus loved, in approximately 100 A.D., nothing can be added, nothing can be taken away from the foundational creedal statements of the Roman Catholic Church. Therefore, whatever was valid before Vatican II must be valid after Vatican II. No changes, no additions, no subtractions. Got that? The three RCIA teachers you talk to and the priest you talk to are heretics. Is that clear? Now, they may be what is called material heretics. In other words, they don't know what they're doing, as opposed to formal heretics, those which absolutely, completely, 100% are simply rejecting the teachings of the Church. The Catholic Church has always taught that there is no salvation outside the Church. A large number of formal papal statements and formal council statements have stated that you must be a formal member of the Catholic Church sometime, somewhere, somehow, in order to get into heaven. Therefore, there is no salvation outside of it. And again, Steve, the mere fact that certain people tell you something means nothing. Go to a library or obtain the Apostolic Digest available through this organization or through Sacred Heart Press, Mesquite, Texas, and you will find many of the doctrinal statements dealing with the statement that I have just said. There is no salvation outside the Church. It certainly is pre-Vatican II. It certainly is post-Vatican II. And if you understand the statements of Vatican II correctly, and if you don't, I suggest you write me. I'll give you a back issue, one of my armaments in which I deal with this. Vatican II says the same thing. Okay, so much for that point. You also state that the tapes are good, I'm quoting again, and helpful, but these comments disturb me. I am interested in ordering more from you, but not if they are pre-Vatican II in extreme. Again, Steve, understand, if you are a Catholic, you are pre-Vatican II, post-Vatican II, during. If you think the Church has changed, you are wrong. You are in heresy. At this point, you are now in formal heresy. In other words, you are now no longer ignorant of your sin. Perhaps I'm being a little bit too harsh on you, Steve, but I also believe that you took the time to listen, you took the time to write, but you didn't take the time to open your heart to God. And that's why I'm being harsh on you. Do that first. Open your heart. Open your mind. Pray for wisdom from God, as it says in the Epistle of St. James, and you will absolutely, positively know I am right. And you will know the other people are wrong. God will always lead you to truth, but you must do it with a complete act of faith, a complete sense of humility, and a complete submission to His will. If you do not, understand that things will go very bad with you, both in this life and the next. Okay. You also say, by the way, the mere fact that you are disturbed by my comments is exceptionally good. I'm glad you're disturbed. If you're not disturbed, things are bad, and I'm not getting my message across. Understand something, Steve. You're in great danger of going to hell. So is everybody else in the world. If we are to believe the private revelations of the saints, and they were unanimous on this, most people go to hell, very few go to heaven. Most of those private revelations were revealed in the so-called Catholic centuries in the Catholic countries. If we are to draw a logical conclusion from this, we are to draw the conclusion that the vast majority of Catholics are damned. I mean, your chance of going to heaven, Steve, is very, very slight. For God's sakes, get disturbed. Straighten yourself out. Come back on the right side. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. For remember, as St. Paul says in Hebrews, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. Be fearful of that judgment. Fear he who can destroy the soul. Be disturbed. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. If you are disturbed by my tapes, thank you, Steve. I've gotten somewhere. They are meant to be disturbing. They're not consoling. You live in a moral cesspool, and you've misunderstood your religion. You're far away from God. You need great help. The first step is disturbance of your equilibrium. I'll quote from your letter. I believe that God is not limited, and to say that God can't in some way or another, at least I believe that's what you're saying. However, there are those where he isn't really. I'm sorry, I'm not making out this statement here. It doesn't seem to make too much sense. But let's put it this way. You're right, God is not limited at all, except by evil and except by his own word. Therefore, God can always work out methods, techniques, mechanisms by which a person can become a formal Catholic. Understand exactly the necessary logical consequences and implications of what you've said. He is not limited. Therefore, everybody can become a Catholic. Can they not, Steve? Or is he limited? Can he not bring this about? Therefore, there is no salvation outside the Church. Otherwise, one must conclude that truth means nothing, and that people in the most horrible heresy, blasphemy, and error can go to heaven, because truth means nothing. But Jesus called himself truth. Therefore, if Jesus means anything, truth means something too. You have your last paragraph. You have a lengthy postscript, but the last paragraph is in the letter, which I believe I can read. I work hard and have worked hard to preserve my faith. It has been hard in Utah. We need groups like this in the Church, but not if it limits God. Please explain your statement. Sincerely, a devoted Catholic, a devout Catholic in Utah. No, you're not a devout Catholic, Steve. You're misunderstanding it at all. Now, you may be an extremely ignorant Catholic, and let's hope that you were just asking for education. I've given it to you. From now on, go out and preach it correctly. If you find it hard to preserve your faith, Steve, something's very wrong here. How could you possibly find it hard? Don't you attend Mass? Don't you understand the truth of Catholicism? I don't find it hard to maintain my faith. Easy. Cinch. I have God on my side, and with God everything is possible. I have the Blessed Mother on my side. I have my guardian angel on my side. I have St. Luke on my side. I have St. Anthony on my side. St. Bernard on my side. I have all the great people in the world who've ever lived on my side. And they're all working for one thing, that I maintain my faith. You find it difficult, Steve? The only way you can find it difficult is to commit sin. The only way you can find it difficult is to induce doubt. The only way you can find it difficult is to work with the devil. Or have you not worked out those things? Are you going to those RCIA teachers and that heretic priest that you mentioned? And that's why you're finding it difficult to maintain your faith, Steve, because what you're being taught doesn't make any sense. Your faith is impossible to maintain. It's a complete, total, absolute contradiction. It says that truth is very important, that God established one church, but you can be saved outside of it, and truth doesn't matter. I couldn't maintain that, Steve. No one could. But you can maintain the real, true Christian faith. Obtain my tapes. You'll become a real Catholic. Don't obtain my tapes. See what happens to you. And you'll probably wind up going to hell. Oh, yeah. Are there other sources? Of course there are. I just happen to be the best. You know that already in your heart. And you know already when you listen to this tape that it's triggering something in you right now. It's related to something that's happened to you before. It's bringing up a memory right now. Isn't it, Steve? If not, give me a call. Let's test it over the phone. Isn't it worth a long-distance telephone call? If it is, fine. If it isn't, well, then don't be surprised if you wind up other than where you want to be at the Last Judgment. In your P.S., you essentially repeat the same thing. You say again, please clarify your statements, as I am very excited, but yet very confused. I can't make it out. Something about Vatican II again. And I'm trying to make this out. Sources, but not... Yeah, you would like not strictly pre-Vatican II sources. Again, send me $1.50 for my back issue on Vatican II, some statements on Vatican II in which I deal exactly with this, and I think it's my June issue of The Armament, and I'll give it to you. I won't send it for free, Steve, although I usually do, because I want to see that you care enough to spend $1.50 for something like this, because I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. Please respond. Before I order more of your tapes, which are very good, but confusing. Of course they're confusing, Steve. You have not yet reconciled true Catholic faith, true Catholic believing. Then you point out again that these things are good, okay, and it's just those, I'm reading again, just those statements of there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church, etc. In your catalog and sayings that only Catholics are Christians, and in so many words, that is what bothers me. Yes, you can say that only Catholics are the only true Christians, which hold the fullness of God as Catholics. But there are other Christian groups, Baptists, Lutherans, etc., Methodists, etc. Those who do not believe in Christ, and the Mormons, etc. Please clarify. Please clarify. Again, if you continue with statements like this, then you are just like, they're just as black and white as the fundamentalists are. And they will never accomplish anything. These are not Catholic Church statements. We are black and white, but there are gray areas in God and in the Church. No, there aren't, Steve. There aren't gray areas in the Church, and there aren't gray areas in God. Don't you understand it? Don't you understand that I'm not interested in accomplishing anything except primarily my salvation of my own soul? That's black or white. I get to heaven or I get to hell. That's it, Steve. Gray areas don't count. The Assumption of the Blessed Mother, it took place or it didn't. It's not a gray area. It's black or it's white. The Immaculate Conception, she was conceived without original sin, black or white. The real presence, Jesus is physically present on the altar after the priest says the words in Mass. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, black or white. Jesus really meant it when he said, receive ye the power of the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven, whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Black or white, yes or no. It really ultimately is, Steve. All statements of faith can be reduced ultimately to a simple statement that you either say yes or no on, black or white, true or false. Now the other people are not like, I am at all. Those fundamentalists are wrong because they're liars, frauds, deceivers. They are anti-Christians. Yes, we have the fullness of the faith. But tell me, Steve, if the fullness of the faith is necessary for salvation, then no matter how close you come to being full, it doesn't matter. You still go to hell, right? If the fullness of the faith is not necessary for salvation, then it's not fullness at all. It's excess, isn't it? The fullness of the faith, therefore, must be those two or three or four or five things that everybody has to believe. And all those other things we believe, they don't count. So let's take one example, the Immaculate Conception. Is that in the fullness of the faith, Steve, or not? If it is, then it's not fullness in the faith, but a necessary part. If it isn't, then it's excess. Why do we believe in it? What difference does it make what position we take on it? And it's not a black and white area. It's an optional area. It's something nice. It's like air conditioning on a car or a power steering. It's an accessory, but it's not necessary to make the car go. Not like the engine and the transmission are. Understand that, Steve. The fullness of the faith is everything the Catholic Church teaches, which you must hold unconfused, committedly, to your death, or you go to hell. And yes, only Catholics are in heaven, because only Catholics have the fullness of the faith. Isn't that right, Steve? Are you familiar with the Athanasian Creed? You've probably never read it, because it's very hard to find, because it's not fashionable these days. It's one of the three basic creeds of the Roman Catholic Church, along with the Nicene and the Apostles. And the Athanasian Creed begins, "He who wishes to be saved must first and foremost hold complete and inviolate the faith of the Roman Catholic Church, for without this he will perish eternally." Now ask your RCIA teachers and your priests whether they mean that or not. Ask them of the statement of Boniface VIII in the Bull Unum Sanctum, who said it's necessary for the salvation of every single human being to be personally submissive to the Pope. How about the Council of Lateran IV, in which it says there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is that which offers the sacrifice of the Mass. Mormons don't do that. Baptists don't do that. Lutherans don't do that. Therefore, they're not in the Catholic Church. Therefore, they cannot be saved as Lutherans, but as Baptists, as Mormons. But as you said, God's not limited. Of course he's not. He can provide a means by which all men may be saved, but he cannot go against himself. Either the Church is necessary for salvation, as Vatican II teaches, or it is not. Steve, you are confused. You are tormented. God is trying to work this out in you. There's a spiritual struggle going on in you, and it's a real one. And I was not put into your life by accident, and you were not looking at that ad that day accidentally. And those tapes don't bother you and disturb you accidentally. This is here for your salvation. You're at a crossroad in your life. You either become a real Catholic at this point, or you become a weak one, and ultimately a non-Catholic. You either accept the fullness of the Catholic teaching, the harsh stuff, the difficult stuff, the stuff you don't want to accept, or you start on that road to hell. That's it, Steve. It's the fullness of the faith, and the fullness of the faith is founded on one basic creedal concept. Truth matters, and everybody has access to it eventually. I know, you don't want to believe that. I didn't want to believe it either when I started to understand the implications of it. But of course, as you say, and I repeat endlessly, God is not limited. He can bring about the salvation of every man if every man cooperates with him. Because as Jesus says, everyone committed to the truth hears his voice. And one of the definitions of a Christian is one who is committed to the truth that Jesus' voice brings. And since Jesus' voice talks about the real presence and the sacrament of confession and purgatory and tradition and intercessory prayer and poverty and no remarriage after divorce, and all of these other organizations you talk about deny those, then they are not listening to the words of Jesus. And if you can reject Jesus and get to heaven, then how do you get to hell, Steve? I don't know. And that's why I say those people aren't Christians. No, really. No, of course not. They deny the perpetual virginity of Blessed Mother. You say you're dedicated to the Rosary and the Charismatic movement. Good for you. But you're obviously not praying the Rosary seriously enough. Or, to put it a slightly different way, you're finally getting your prayers answered. I'm the answer to your prayers, Steve. I'm the guy who's going to straighten you out. My tapes will straighten you out. My publications will straighten you out. My publications will make you a good Catholic if you want to be one. Good in the sense of doctrinally correct. I can't help you morally, that's it. But I sure as heck can be your teacher and straighten you out. And I hope I haven't been too harsh on this tape. But quite frankly, Steve, your letter's ridiculous. you want other than pre-Vatican II sources. Let me go back to it because it's so foundational. The Church did not change at Vatican II. It hasn't changed since the year roughly 34 AD at the Feast of Pentecost, the first one when it was founded. From then on, it's been unchangeable in what it believes. It's been unchangeable in who's been in charge of it. A pope, a man, chosen by God to be infallible under certain circumstances with the binding authority on every true believer throughout the world, whether he accepts it or not, or whether he likes it or not. Understand that, Steve? Now, if you don't accept Lateran IV, Boniface VIII, and the other doctors and fathers of the Church who have taught everything that you are required to believe, then understand this, Steve. You have no chance of salvation. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe the Catholic faith, whole and entire. You've been baptized. You pray the rosary. The Blessed Mother's working inside of you. So is your guardian angel, and God's moving heaven and earth. I mean, just one rung on that ladder that if you climb it, you won't get to heaven. You are not listening to this tape by accident. You did not write your letter by accident. You did not listen to my tapes by accident. They better be disturbing, Steve. Jesus was the most disturbing man who ever lived. He was so disturbing that one of his intimates betrayed him. He was so disturbing that the people he healed and fed stood at the foot of the cross and mocked him and were happy that he was crucified. He was so disturbing that a Roman governor executed him even though he knew he was innocent of any charge. He was so disturbing that the king of him, of his, Herod, wanted him dead. He was so disturbing that the people he came to fulfill the prophecies of the Messiah tried to kill him numerous times. He was so disturbing that almost everybody walked away from him. He was so disturbing that despite his many, 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 many miracles, his great authority, and his sublime teaching, people didn't believe him. He was so disturbing that even today, people won't accept his words, even though they want to. They say they want to follow him. Yeah, Christianity is disturbing. Break your heart. Submit your spirit. Bend your neck. Then accept the truth of God as He reveals it. Not the way you want. Not the way the RCIA teachers say. Not the way the priest tells you. For whether they know what they say or not, they are not telling the truth. Understand that, Steve. He came once and for all. And until the second coming, nothing is going to change. You will know the truth and it will set you free, said Jesus. Free from sin. That truth doesn't change. It wasn't one thing until 1960 and a different thing after it. But I point out again, in case you've forgotten, I deal with the exact issue that Vatican II taught there is no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church. Vatican II taught that. I explain that in one of my articles. Send the money. I'll send you the armament. There is no salvation outside the Church. There is no honesty outside the Church. Those who seek the truth outside the Roman Catholic Church will become Roman Catholics. Because Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Steve, ask for the truth. Seek the faith and it will be given to you. How can it be hard to remain a Catholic? Have you not asked for help? I don't understand that. I don't understand it at all. That's a very disturbing thought. But you're not dead yet. There's still a chance, of course. And perhaps God has heard your voice crying and has put me in your life to wake you up and to make you a better Catholic and to make you a better Christian so that you may yet achieve your salvation. But what you are doing now with your doubts, with your confusions, are sins, Dave. You are not called to confusion. You are called to truth. You are not called to greenness. You are called to black, and you are called to white. What is right and what is wrong? Steve, how could you preach the gospel to every living creature, and that is your obligation to do so, unless you know it yourself? How could you invite people to come into the church unless it is the only source of salvation? And why do you think those people oppose our church so much? Because they are on the other side, Steve. They are on the side of evil and the side of Satan. Why do you think they oppose the Blessed Mother so much, Steve? Why do you think they are so offended by her, Steve? Because they are evil people in so much as they can make themselves evil. No one is evil by nature, but one can certainly be evil by one's own sinful inclinations and behavior. And the first thing they do is to plant doubt in your mind to say things are not black and white. And Steve, are you so foolish to think that fundamentalists say things are black and white? The only things they say are black and white is that the Catholic Church is wrong. Otherwise, they have no faith in anything. I'm the expert on the field. Obtain my tapes and listen to them. They teach nothing at all, except the Catholic Church is wrong. They advocate nothing, no truth. You have not learned to listen, and you have not learned to analyze. How can it be otherwise? Because, Steve, confusion comes from doubt. Doubt comes from lack of faith, and lack of faith is a sin, and sin clouds the intellect. You must believe. You must exercise that faculty to accept faith, which was instilled in you when you received baptism. Then your mind will become clearer. You will not be confused. You will not be doubtful. You have not accepted a personal relationship with Jesus. You have not made him the person who controls your will. You have not done that with God. Then you will not have doubts. Suspend your will and let him speak in you. That is what I do. That is why I record this tape. That is why I sound so authoritarian when I speak to you. I do not speak to you on my own authority. I speak to you on the authority of God and Jesus, as every Catholic better do. Why? Because we know his truth, and we have an obligation to preach it. We have an obligation to advance it. We have an obligation to explain it and defend it. And there are no gray areas on it, Steve. None. That does not mean to say there are not mysteries of the faith. For who can fully understand the Trinity? I don't know. I don't know if we ever will be able to. But the Trinity is a fact. It is not a gray area. All of the faith is fact. Not gray areas. Not gray, black, or white. True or false. Sinful or virtuous. Not gray areas, Steve. You have been infected by the spirit of the times, and you have been infected perhaps by the spirit of Mormonism, that purely, maybe not purely demonic system, but a very demonic system. And perhaps what you need are more sacramentals around your house, such as holy water, relics, blessed statues. Maybe you should be lighting more candles, Steve, because your spirituality is in disorder. But I will help you, and if you wish, call me, and we'll deal with this over the phone. But understand, again, summary statement, the church hasn't changed since the first feast of Pentecost, and nothing new has been added, nor nothing taken away, since the closing of the deposit of faith with the end of St. John. Therefore, Vatican II statements, or if not Vatican II statements, doesn't make a difference. The church teaches the same thing. Think otherwise, and regardless of what you call yourself, you are a Protestant. And Protestants cannot enter into heaven. Remember that. As Jesus says in the Gospel of St. John, my flock know me, and I know them. They hear my voice, and they will follow no other. You have to be a member of that flock to be saved. And if you do not hear his voice say the Catholic things, you are not a member of that flock. Become it. Increase the virtue of faith by the act of will. And I offer my services in any way that I can. Feel free to call, and I'm sure we can work out any problem you want. If it's not worth the cost of the telephone call, what will you say at judgment time when Jesus asked why you didn't take the offer? Because you already know in your heart I'm right, and you already know I can help you. I hope you do turn the opportunity to obtain more of my tapes and my writings. You really, really need them. And God bless you, good luck, and I hope to hear from you. And if I don't, understand in the judgment seat, when we both stand there in the second coming, I will point and I will say, Jesus, I offered to help him. Don't hold me responsible for his sin. Don't hold me responsible for his possible condemnation, because I tried to preach your word, and he rejected me. And rejecting me, he rejected you. Scary thought, Steve. Good. Get scared. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Thanks for listening. Goodbye. Oh, yes. A P.S., Steve. Remember the words of Jesus when you think about gray hair.